I'm very conscious singing those first couple of songs that quite a bit of my talk has happened already, but anyway, we'll carry on. Many years ago, when Patrick and I were not long married, we lived in a block of flats in Clapham. One night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, we were abruptly woken up by a booming voice outside, which sent a chill up my spine. "Repent, repent, the day of the Lord is nigh." We looked at each other. What was that? And then again, the disembodied voice called, "Repent, repent, the day of the Lord is nigh." I remember it was quite scary. I was not a Christian at the time, but I had been to church as a child, so I recognised the words. Just for a minute, a thought flashed through my head. Couldn't be. No, surely not. Was that God? Well, that was until it was reported by a neighbour that they had seen a small woman dressed in a long white robe with a large megaphone jump onto a moped and speed away. I don't know if there were any converts among our slightly disgruntled neighbours that night, but perhaps unsurprisingly, she didn't hang around to find out. Well, I may not think that method of evangelism was perhaps a great idea, but I do salute her enthusiasm and originality. And actually, I do agree with her that repentance is really important. A few weeks ago, I sat down to have a quiet time with God. It suggested in my daily study notes that I had a period of meditation, listening for God. I never find this easy, but I started with a prayer and waited. My prayer was that God would inject some life back into my spirit and fill me with his joy again. I had been aware for a while that my faith had been a bit lackluster. I'd lost the closeness I once felt and was struggling to feel the excitement of living with Jesus every day. As I waited, the words, "Renew a right spirit within me," popped into my head. That's it, I thought. That's exactly what I felt I needed. Afterwards, the phrase rang in my head, and I was certain it was from a song, but it took me a moment to recognise it. The song, which many of you will be familiar with, is "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We sing it from time to time here at St. Patrick's. So when Dave asked me to choose a song and explore the Bible passage it was inspired by, I decided that it was to be this song. Again, I think many of you will recognise it as a version of part of Psalm 51, which is attributed to King David. It's a great psalm of repentance that he wrote after the prophet Nathan had revealed to him how he had sinned. The story of Bathsheba and David is often told and is documented in the second book of Samuel, chapters 11 and 12. You may wish to look at it in more detail later. But briefly, David's army was in the process of war with the Ammonites, but he had remained in the palace. While he was walking on his palace roof, he saw Bathsheba, the wife of one of his generals, washing, found her very beautiful, and was tempted. He asked for her to be brought to him, and he committed adultery. When she found out she was pregnant, David called Uriah, her husband, back from war in order to try to conceal that the child was his. But his plan didn't work. So he sent Uriah back to war and manipulated things to ensure Uriah would be in the front line of fire, and he was duly killed. David then married Bathsheba. Paul refers to David in Acts 13 as a man after God's own heart. How can his behavior demonstrate that? The answer is, yes, David was a great sinner. But he had other great qualities as well that made him really close to God. He had absolute faith in God. He was thankful, and not least of these, he was truly repentant. He also was one of the first people in the Bible to show his love for God in such an expressive way. His gift of music and poetry, as well as his early job as the court minstrel, gave him a perfect vehicle for this. David was a passionate man, a soldier, and a despotic king. He did not rule over a democracy. His adultery and implication in the death of Uriah would not have caused problems of conscience with many kings of the time, but David loved God's law. This included the Ten Commandments. He meditated on it regularly and sang about it in other psalms. In Psalm 19, verse 8, he sings, "The laws of the Lord are right, and those who obey them are happy." When Nathan revealed to David through a clever story how he had sinned against God, he was devastated. Among other things, he had broken the commandments, "You shall not commit adultery, and you shall not commit murder." Psalm 51 is a very public and desperate response to the realization and acknowledgement of what he had done. It is an outpouring of emotion from someone who is truly and deeply sorry.
"For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Clean me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lucy. In the first part of this psalm, verses 1 to 9, David laments his grievous sin. He realizes with horror how he has offended God. In verse 4, he sings, "Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." He recognizes his unworthiness. He begs for mercy. You can sense his misery as he is sickened by his own sin, which may be made more painful by being so aware of God's goodness. In verse 1, he sings of God's unfailing love, his great compassion. Somehow, knowing this seems to make the sin even more offensive. He sings he is so completely full of sin that it goes back to his conception. Verse 5, "Surely I was sinful at birth," and even that's not strong enough for David, "sinful from the time my mother conceived me." He is not trying to blame his mother, but just reiterating that he has always been sinful through and through. In verse 7, he asks to be washed clean, to be cleansed with hyssop. Hyssop is an aromatic plant that was used for sprinkling in ancient Jewish rites of purification, often of someone who was diseased. He feels he needs this purification too, because he is diseased with sin. In verse 8, he sings he knows he is broken and he wants to hear joy and gladness. You can imagine how wretched he feels, wondering if he will ever feel happy again. He is ashamed and he says in verse 9, "Hide your face from my iniquity." The worship song we sing, "Create in me a clean heart," is a quote from the central verses of this psalm. In verses 10 to 12, David asks God to give him a pure heart, have a completely new start. He asked God to replace any of his old attitude and completely overhaul his spirit and make it steadfast. He pleads again in verse 11, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." He is desperate not to lose connection with God. David doesn't mince his words. He is completely honest. He wants God to forgive him, so in verse 12, he asks for restoration and joy that comes from knowing God's forgiveness and love. In the final verses, 13 to 19, David explains how he will be an example to others in his repentance. Verse 13, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you." A desire, I think, that has been fulfilled all these years later, because David really does teach us how to repent. He shows such passion and uses such heartfelt words. This man is really sincere. He recognizes God's authority. He asks God to use him so that everyone will know of God's righteousness. He finally stresses in verses 16 to 17 that God is not interested in feeble apologies. Sacrifices were often used as atonements for sins, but David sings, "You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. What God desires is a broken and contrite heart." This is what God would love from us all. It's so easy in our prayers to tag a quick ask for forgiveness at either end of a long list of requests. And yes, sometimes you can think of something you've done that hurts someone or you feel guilty about, but it's very easy to have amnesia when it comes to sin. This is probably a likely sign that there are too many sins to remember, not too few. My sins may be different from David's, but can I honestly say that I don't break God's law, which I take to mean the commandments that Jesus teaches us in the New Testament? Jesus says in Mark 12, verse 29, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself." Do I always put God and his ways first? Do I love him that much? Do I always love my neighbour as myself? As I said earlier, David was a great sinner, but so are we all. Right, well, all this talk of sin is very overwhelming. It's easy to feel the weight of it crushing us. It's too much for us to deal with. But all is not lost. Thank you for Jesus and the cross. This is our only hope, and we are a pretty hopeless lot. When we become aware of our sins, repent in earnest, and surrender everything to God, then we are forgiven because Jesus, by being sacrificed on the cross, will take our sins away. He will lift the weight from our shoulders, and we will be free. As Christians, our sins are dealt with. We do not have to fear death. But we still need to repent regularly. How can we have a good relationship with God if sin stands between us? God will always love us, but can we really look God comfortably in the eye when our lives are so grubby? You don't have to look far in the Bible to find people who, although they had been close to God at one time, could not face him or try to run away from him when they had sinned. Adam and Eve, Jonah, just for starters. And so with us, we can put up a barrier between ourselves and God by not fully surrendering to him. We don't take time to examine ourselves and our shortcomings, or we make empty apologies and cheap promises to be better. When we truly repent, we reconcile ourselves with God. Our relationship is healed and will flourish. The image of the penitent prodigal son returning to his jubilant father is heartwarming, but that is how it is. God rejoices and delights in having us back, the joy of our salvation. I should say that we may still have to face the consequences of our sin in this life, but how much better to face it with Jesus at our side, knowing that he has not rejected us, he will not leave us. How can I relate to this psalm? When I sat down to meditate a few weeks ago, I didn't come to God knowingly with sins, but I sensed that things were not right between us. Something was getting in the way. Life throws many different challenges at us, which leave us feeling troubled, doubting, confused. Sometimes we just can't explain it, but we struggle to keep our faith steadfast. It can often be hard to say that we are being sinful in these circumstances, but we are not trusting God, and our focus can be taking us into many different distractions. I definitely was not putting God first. I knew my heart was a messy jumble. I was tired of it, and I wanted Jesus to clean it up and put things right. I prayed my prayer, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. And so I start again, a new beginning, with the promise of God's salvation and guidance, with Jesus at my side, and the Holy Spirit's power and peace within me. I think I could pray this prayer every day.